Hey, Sean. Hey, Laurel. Why the long faces?
Oh, you know, it's kind of the dog days of summer.
Yeah, you know, there's not a lot of news happening some days.
Yeah, and even when there is news, it's campaign stuff. You know, it seems like the public's focused on other stuff right now.
Yeah, I know it's tough, but I think I might have an idea to cheer you guys up.
Oh, yeah?
What are we going to do?
Another round of About That Thing We Said.
Ooh, our semi-regular segment where we talk about stuff we've talked about in the past, news stories that changed, developed, or maybe didn't turn out the way we thought they would.
That's the one.
I like that game.
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, this is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
Time to play another round of About That Thing We Said.
Dog Days of Summer Edition.
All right, so do you guys remember the rules of About That Thing We Said?
Yeah, dog.
Oh, I see what you did
there. Nice.
What are they? Refresh our memory, or if this is your first About That Thing We Said experience.
Well, for each story or podcast episode in the past that we're going to talk about, we put 3 minutes on the clock. That is all the time we get. And when the alarm goes off, you must stop talking.
Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. So, Sean, want to tell us what the first episodes we're going to talk about are?
Yeah, this first segment is going to be like a super segment.
Mm-hmm.
It's loosely about the Democratic primary for governor. We're going to talk about Reporter's Notebook, Raccoons, Hippies, and Asset Valuations, our podcast from June 15th, Cranking It Up to 10, our June 4th podcast on the State Democratic Convention, and kind of loosely Lost in a Crowd, our Live from Madison podcast from March 9th. All of those, I feel like there's something in all of them that we can talk about now.
Mm-hmm. So March and June.
All right, let me get the clock set up here real quick. Pressing start. Go.
Well, you want to start from the beginning? Lost in a Crowd, Live mm-hmm. from Madison. We were talking about how hard it is for people in a crowded Democratic primary to stand out. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Have any of them done that successfully is the question.
I feel like there have been more attempts, obviously, but at least based on the polling that we have right now, there isn't a big change from then to now. Like Tony Evers is still polling around 30%. Undecideds or don't knows are still like in the high 30s.
Running a great campaign, don't knows.
Right. Don't know is really...
Don't know actually got an upward trajectory in
yeah,
the last Marquette
a compelling
poll.
Campaign being yeah. run by don't know. So, you know, do we want to like touch briefly on some of the strategies that people are using, maybe like new stuff that's happening that people have tried to differentiate themselves with?
Well, I mean, I think Kel DeRoy, who we talked about in an original podcast, has done a lot that she could say differentiates herself.
Mm-hmm.
She got that Emily's List endorsement. She got some national endorsements from Kirsten Gillibrand.
Mm-hmm.
Malin Mitchell got a national endorsement from Kamala Harris.
Mm-hmm.
So there are people paying attention to their campaigns. I would think those are two people that are commonly thought to have at least a chance at challenging Tony Evers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not seeing it in the polls yet, though.
No, they're really not like separating from the crowd. And Matt Flynn, I feel like, is really trying to push his unique position on Foxconn and saying like this deal can be, we can get out of this. We can just nix this entirely, which a lot of other candidates aren't saying. They're saying like we can renegotiate or we can change, but we probably can't just dump it all together.
And so they're trying to run ads now to stand out in the crowd. But how do you do that in the dog days of summer when people are on vacation and you don't have that much money? One other thing we wanted to talk about, since if you get all your news from this podcast,
which we assume you do,
probably you just don't read or listen or watch anything else.
You're in a nice bubble with just us.
Yeah, that's scary.
Well, then some big news for you.
So two people dropped out of this race and we just haven't talked about it yet. Dana Walks. Mm-hmm. Who and Annie Gronick. And I got to say, earlier in this campaign, they were kind of viewed as front-runner potential type candidates because mm-hmm. they had a lot of money. Dana Walks had trial lawyer connections. Annie Gronick was that private sector, you know, candidate. He had money. And they didn't go anywhere. And to this point, I can't see that them dropping out of the race, though, has changed things dramatically. Walks endorsed Evers.
Mm-hmm.
Gronick endorsed Roy's. But Evers' numbers have been the ones that have gone up, if anything, in the latest polls. Nobody else seems to have caught on.
All right. And also one thing, we talk about Mike McCabe's jeans a lot. So
we
real
do.
Quick.
Every week we mention it, I feel like.
Yeah. So I was covering a WisPolitics event in Madison yesterday, and Jeff Mayers, the moderator of that event, asked the question that everyone has been wanting to get answered, which is, how many pairs of blue jeans do you actually own, Mike McCabe? And Mike McCabe said 6 or 7 pairs. His favorite brand is Lee, and he washes them regularly, and no jorts.
That's very, very specific.
Yep. I saw the time going down, so I just wanted to get all the deets in before the barking, and I did. So
it would have been
mission accomplished.
What if he had said 30 to 35 pairs, all vintage Jordache, a light stonewash?
That would make him like a jean collector.
Well, good job, guys. You made it in those 3 minutes just on the wire about jeans. What is our next segment?
Well, this one's also tied to the Democratic primary for governor, but also the Republican primary for U.S. Senate. It references back to our Political Peacekeepers podcast.
Huh? Yeah.
From May 4th, where we talked about how Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson and Democratic Congressman Mark Pocan have both said that they're going to take on like a peacekeeping role in these primaries. Make sure they don't get out of hand. Keep people from fighting too much. Mm-hmm. Call them out when it happens. So we're just kind of wondering, how have they done? Have they done any of that?
All right, let me get 3 minutes here on the old dog clock and go.
So let's start with Ron Johnson, who was supposed to be the peacemaker on the Republican side. He even made Kevin Nicholson and Leah Vukmir sign like a unity pact that mm-hmm. essentially said, be nice to each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the whole, Leah Vukmir and Kevin Nicholson have been personally, you know, nice to each other.
Mm-hmm. They had that one dust up about Nicholson talking about feeling respected as a veteran
yeah.
at the end of that debate.
Yeah.
I think we talked about that during the last podcast episode about this, right? Or maybe I'm just getting things all condensed into my head.
I don't know.
Time's a flat circle.
That's right.
Anyway.
Well, but so Ron Johnson, though, is not calling out third-party groups at all. And they have not been nice to each other.
The third-party groups did not yeah. sign the pledge.
No, they didn't, very clearly. And so you have the National Club for Growth, not the Wisconsin Club for
Growth.
So
just real quick, when you say third parties, you don't mean like other
no,
political
like,
parties.
Other
you
political
mean like
parties.
Outside political groups.
Yes. So the Club for Growth has been a player in this campaign, as they were in the 2012 race when they attacked Tommy Thompson. Now they're attacking Leah Vukmir and essentially calling her a career politician. It's an ad that could have been run by a Democratic group attacking her. They are being funded by, we've talked about this man quite frequently, Richard Elein. Richard Elein is a big financial backer of Kevin Nicholson. He has formed his own PAC that supports Kevin Nicholson, but he's also spreading his money around to other groups, including Club for Growth. And so Club for Growth is going hard against Leah Vukmir. Leah Vukmir has her own big financial backer, Diane Hendricks, a billionaire from Beloit. And she, her PAC, her pro-Vukmir PAC, is running ads attacking Nicholson. Just playing video of him addressing the Democratic National Convention in 2000 when Kevin Nicholson was a Democrat.
All right. Remind you, we have 3 minutes on the clock. We have 52
man.
Seconds. So let's get to the governor's race.
You had some thoughts on Pocan and well, not Pocan, but what's going on in the Democratic governor's race?
So Pocan has been kind of the peacekeeper there. And there's been some push this week for Democrats to kind of criticize each other, particularly Matt Flynn. So there's been some calls for Matt Flynn to get out of the governor's race because of his work representing the Archdiocese of Milwaukee during the pre-sexual abuse scandal. And a lot of other candidates in the Democratic field have been asked, like, hey, should Matt Flynn get out of the race because of that? Like, for example, Scott Walker, obviously not a Democrat, has said Flynn should get out of the race. The only Democratic candidate as of right now is Josh Pade that has said Flynn should get out. But some others have been a little bit more lukewarm about it. Like, you know, it doesn't sound great. Mike McCabe said that yesterday. But ultimately, I'm going to let the voters decide.
If I had a dog treat for our mm-hmm. dogs, could I get an extra 30 seconds?
I suppose.
All right, here you go. Here you go, boys and girls. I don't know what these dogs are. They just showed up in our studio, and we're going to work you into the podcast.
All right, 30 seconds, go.
Okay, You know, other people are attacking each other, though. Like, Matt Flynn is going after Tony Evers. What did Matt Flynn call Tony Evers?
Okay, so we're not, he didn't specifically say that he was talking about Tony Evers, but Matt Flynn, in response to some questions about, you know, him being a hard-charging person sometimes and using some strong language, he said, yeah, you know, I'm going to express my opinions. If you want to nominate Casper Milquetoast as the nominee for Democratic governor, don't pick me. So I think that was kind of a...
Here's another treat. Paul Soglin has been attacking Mike McCabe, like, relentlessly, and Malin Mitchell.
Right.
Pocan's not out there telling him to, like, keep it back.
Paul Soglin has been pointing out that Malin Mitchell supported the Kimberly-Clark deal at first, or at least didn't say I completely oppose it. What else has he been saying about
He's attacking McCabe.
All right,
We're not honoring this. All right.
You guys are getting reckless. It's time for our next segment.
Okay. Segment number three, The Week That Screamed Third Branch. This is our podcast from March 30th of 2018, when we talked about the push to change Wisconsin's special election laws to essentially prevent special elections from happening this summer. And that push was not fruitful. I mean, it didn't happen. Special elections happened?
They happened.
Special elections happened. We have a new senator and a new representative. And
well, do you want to talk about it? Because I'll give you 3 minutes,
okay,
as will the before they bite.
All right, let's
Ready?
Do it.
Let's go.
Okay, so again, person who only gets their news from our podcast. John Plummer is a state representative now. He's a Republican. He won his special election. And Caleb Frostman, he's a Democrat. He won his special election in the Senate. So they are sitting, a sitting representative and a sitting senator. And they have to run again in November.
So why is this particularly interesting right now? Because there's been some talk this week about calling legislators back to Madison for another special session. You might recall that we've had a couple special sessions in the past several months. One was on school safety. What would this one be about, you ask? Well, it would be about an incentive package for Kimberly-Clark, which is talking about moving two manufacturing plants out of Wisconsin. And it's been proposed that they get sort of Foxconn-style incentives to keep those plants here.
Wasn't there a bill that passed the Assembly and did not pass the Senate?
Sure did.
Saying, we'll give you some tax incentives.
Yep.
And Kimberly-Clark was like, well, we don't really know. We have some issues with our union. We can't say yes or no right now. Well, this week we got news that they have cut a deal with their unions and that they can, in fact, you know, start negotiating with lawmakers.
Yeah, right. they said, in fact, we will take your money if you want to give it to us.
If you guys
want to
do that.
Or they said, we're willing to talk now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's the ball is in the Senate's court at this point. And this is interesting because what we heard over and over again from the governor and from people who didn't want those special elections to happen was that the legislature is done. They're done for the year. They're not going to come back. It's a waste of money to fill these seats. Well, no, they might not be. They might be back this summer on this Kimberly-Clark bill that the governor wants.
Yeah. And it's a really interesting position because obviously Caleb Frostman, a Democrat, won that special election in the Senate. So he trimmed that margin. So Republicans have fewer votes to lose on this Kimberly-Clark deal if they want it to pass. And we've already heard from a couple of Republicans in the Senate that they won't vote for it. Like,
one, right?
Yeah, I guess it was just one.
Yeah, Chris Kapinga, Republican senator from the Senate, Southeast Wisconsin. But where Kapinga goes, sometimes Steve Nass or Dewey Strobel or maybe Dave Craig, there's a group of four or five Republican senators in the Senate, imagine that, who tend to stick together as a block, and they don't like the idea of this Kimberly-Clark thing because they feel like it's a slippery slope of government getting involved with...
Don't make your dogs angry, Sean.
All right. You got the point.
We did.
I feel like that one, we did that in time.
Yeah.
That worked out okay.
Good job, guys. The dogs are content.
Now they want a treat, though, because I did it that one time.
Yeah, well, it is a slippery slope giving dogs treats because then they're going to want more treats, as Chris Kapinga might say. Anyway, what is our next segment?
Oh, this would be a podcast. Laurel did not get to experience this podcast. She was heading for a wedding, I believe, just mm-hmm. about to get married. And this is our podcast. And you may heading find yourself.
Heading for a wedding.
Sorry. That was the name of an actual play I was in high school.
Really?
Heading for a wedding. And we all had to do our best, you know, high school hillbilly accents.
Oh, no.
The actual true story. So Laurel was about to be wed. And so she did not participate in this, but I think you listened to it, so you can chime in.
I did, and I know things about it.
You do know things.
I know things.
All right, ready?
Mm-hmm. Putting the dogs on a timer. Go.
Okay, so the name of this podcast was And You May Find Yourself Remanded Back to a Lower Court, where we talked about what happened in Wisconsin's redistricting case when it finally got to the U.S. Supreme Court and they issued a decision. And their decision was sort of a non-decision. They remanded it to the lower court. They didn't dismiss it outright, but they said, you don't have standing. So I think that if you had one takeaway from that podcast, it was that Wisconsin's case is still alive. It's not dead. They just have to go back, reconfigure it so it has standing. And then maybe when it comes back up there, Justice Kennedy will like what he sees and he'll join the court's four liberals and, you know, who knows what happens there.
So what's happened between then and now, Sean, that would make that different?
Oh, Justice Kennedy retired.
He gone. Well, he's going to be gone anyway.
Yeah. So that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a huge deal. There's not much bigger in American politics or law. It's a seismic event when a Supreme Court justice like that. I talk well.
A justice is when one party gets to pick the justice. They get a justice.
I'm gonna wrap Brett Kavanaugh in a package under a tree.
Merry justice.
He pops out of an advent calendar.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we're being judicious with our time here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Kennedy's leaving. You referenced Brett Kavanaugh, President Trump's nominee. We don't know where he stands on the issue of redistricting and whether the court should draw a line where redistricting is too partisan. But we kind of know where the president's previous nominee, Neil Gorsuch, stood. He would have dismissed Wisconsin's case.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I mean, it is widely thought that whoever replaces Kennedy is going to be on the of the line of thinking that, you know, this is not something court should get involved with. So does that mean the case is dead now? Plaintiffs say not necessarily, because they are now pointing to John Roberts as a potential swing vote. You know, with Kennedy out of the way, puts Roberts in a different position. And he was one of the justices who said, we're remanding this, but we're not dismissing it. Mm-hmm. Justice Alito, another one who said, we're remanding this, but he did not want to dismiss it. So the case is still alive, and there's a decent chance it's going to be back before the U.S. Supreme Court. But, of course, Justice Kennedy retiring is a big blow to plaintiffs who built their entire case around getting his vote.
Nice. We made it.
Yeah.
Before the dogs.
Oh, they're here.
They're
a hungry bunch.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose we should go feed those hungry dogs then.
Yes, I think they're maybe rabid also, so
watch out.
Be careful.
Present. We shouldn't let these dogs just in the studio.
I don't know why we
did
this.
We're like, oh, this will be fun for the podcast.
Yeah.
Well, Sean Johnson is WPR's Capital Bureau Chief and a good boy.
Very, very.
Laurel White is WPR's Capital Reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
Just like a hungry dog sniffing through a dumpster behind a restaurant, you can find some good stuff when you subscribe to the WPR Politics podcast on iTunes. You can also find it on Google Play and Stitcher, as well as many other quality podcast apps. And you can catch up on all of our past episodes anytime at wpr.org/politics.